Praise the Lord. Amen. We serve an awesome God. Welcome to this special time in the presence of the Lord this evening. May the Lord meet us here powerfully, and may His name be glorified for all eternity. Father, we are thankful for this wonderful opportunity accorded us once again. You give us life, you give us strength. You give us the presence of mind, all that we need to be here today. And we are thankful for it. We're thankful, Lord, O God, that even now as we've stepped into the second half of 2023, Lord, O God, that you are lifting us up higher in this seventh month. Father, Lord, O God, let there be a completion. Let there be, O God, a bestowing of supernatural favor like we've never seen before. Father, in the name of Jesus, we let go of the capsule that brought us to this point, and we receive supernatural ignition to go into this new sphere, this new dimension of the supernatural. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for speedification, O God, of answers to prayers. As we, O God, are attentive, we hear you, we behold you, we're transformed and renewed because of your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Blessed Father, be your holy name forever. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we decree it so done. And all of God's put together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, we started out studying and going through certain aspects of the Lord's Prayer that is found in the Gospel of Matthew, the sixth chapter. And we looked at two important verses. The ninth verse, and also we spend most of our time looking at the tenth verse that simply says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Praise the Lord. While I did not give a title, while I did not give a title to the message this morning, the title I noted is Thy Kingdom Come. Thy Kingdom Come. Can you say that with me? Thy Kingdom Come. Amen. Now, for the kingdom of God to come, we have to operate the way God's word says we should operate. We cannot do things based on our own mindset and how we think things should play out. When we do so, we frustrate ourselves. Simply said, we frustrate ourselves. Because we will pray and not get answers. I have found out to be true that really the only true answers to prayers that I have received immediately, supernaturally, have been prayers that have been prayed not because I quoted the word, but because I said what God was saying. I saw something in the realm of the Spirit. And I aligned myself with what the Spirit was revealing. The most frustrating experiences I've had with prayer is when, by a knee-jerk response, I reacted to pray about something based on what I think I should be praying. Now, that is not to say that sometimes you don't hit it right away, because you already have the word of the Lord. you know certain things to be true, and you can declare certain things because you know what is going to happen. That is true. But most of the time, that's not how it works. And some of the time, are you ready for this? You may be saying all the right things and doing all the right things, and God will not respond. The reason being, He wants to train you on the better way of communion with Him. More than anything, what God holds most dear is communing with you, having fellowship with you. And if you're going to be doing principles, you know, and not relating, he will shut you down very deliberately. It's like a husband who's coming into a house. He has the key, opens the door, comes into the house, doesn't say anything to the wife, doesn't say anything to anybody, and goes and starts doing his own thing, doesn't chat with anybody. The essence of the marriage is not you having the key to come into the house. The essence of the marriage is having a relationship. Yes? Okay, so prayer is about relating with God. And if you are just going to go by, I know this principle, and I know this principle, and I know this principle, there's an overriding principle. God, at the very beginning, wanted to commune with man. Did you see it in the Bible? He came every day to chat with them. Huh? That's the overriding principle. Communion. And before He left the earth, the Lord Jesus, one of His last actions was that He had communion with His disciples. Prayer is about communion. It's about fellowship. It's about partnership. The first clear declaration of Jesus our Lord calling somebody into ministry, the word partnership was used, but it was the word koinonia, which is communion, fellowshipping. God is more interested in fellowshipping with me than anything else. Because when I'm in His presence, there will be joy. When I'm in His presence, there's benefits at His right hand. At His right hand, there are benefits every day. You don't need to ask anything. God will offer it. So the greatest prayer that you pray is not yap, 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 yap. How many of you know that God already knows what the problem is before you asked? That He's not waiting for some information. You know, God sitting down there and say, okay, tell me, what exactly is happening? I need to know. Don't you know already? No, I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know. God is everywhere. God is where you are not even yet. He is in your past. He is in your present. He is in your future. And now you're going to tell God how to fix the problem when He knows that the problem is something that happened in the past. But you're going to tell Him, Lord, this is how you're going to fix the problem, okay? Do it this way. Oh, no. You come before the Lord and you say, Father, hallowed be Thy name. Right now, you know that I'm going through an experience that is not hallowing Your name. I need Your kingdom to come, Your authority to flow, Your direction, Your directives, so I can align with Your will to declare Your will here in the earth I need your assistance. Help me, Lord. Give me direction. I want to know what to do. That's why the word of God says, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he will do what? Direct your path. Amen? He will direct you. He'll tell you. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Praise the Lord. So, we need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Hallelujah. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind so that you can do what God wants done. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 23, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the what? The new man. Ah. I thought we were talking about that this morning. About being born again and the connection between being born again and seeing into the realm of the kingdom. Now the word of God says, put on the new man which after God, like God, is like God in righteousness and true what? Holiness. Hallowed be thy name. The hallowing of God's name is connected to my new birth experience. And when I'm talking about the new birth experience, I'm talking about the renewing of your mind. Because the context of the new birth is God correcting Nicodemus. Nicodemus says, you can't do these miracles except God be with you. And Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. It is the seeing of the kingdom of God that brings about the manifestation of the miracles that you're seeing. Because I can do nothing except I see what the Father is doing. See what? And where's the Father? Our Father who art in what? Heaven. He's in heaven. He's in the heavenlies. And I need to see what my Father who is in the heavenlies is doing. And when I do that, I'm going to put away all lies that's been pretentious. I'm going to put away everything that is dishonoring to God. I'm not going to get frustrated and angry. I'm going to speak truth to my neighbor. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, understand that the Word of God has many layers. And these layers are interconnected. Now, I could be reading this particular passage of Scripture and just see on the surface what I'm reading. But now, bringing it from the kingdom perspective, now I begin to see another layer of this. Because when my prayers are not being answered, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to get angry. I'm going to start getting upset with everybody. The cat comes by and says, meow. I say, what are you meowing about? I'll kick it. Somebody say, have a good day. And say, what is good about this day? because you're frustrated. Now, it is understandable why we get frustrated. Ask me why. Okay, since you asked, I'll answer you. You know that God is able. You know that He's all powerful. You know that He has all the resources available to Him. You know. Now, how come it is taking 20 years for it to get resolved? Huh? It is right there. All the benefits at your right hand. Just hand it over. Why are you not handing it over? You said in your word that if you have to do something good, don't delay it. Don't postpone it. Do it when it's in your power to do it. Who else has the greatest power to do it than God? So why is it not happening? I'm going to get angry. Does that make sense? And God understands that. But your anger is not what God is looking for. Your change, your transformation is what God is looking for. That you and I become more and more like Him. And that we become authorized and we declare the kingdom of God here in the earth. Because we are taking possession of our possessions and we are establishing the authority of God in the earth as it is in heaven. God is more interested in you becoming what you and I lost. We lost our imageness of God. Sin is the loss of you and I being the image and likeness of God. That makes sense? So God wants to authorize me and train me to become more real as He is, so that His word in His mouth becomes just as powerful as His word in my mouth. And for that to happen, I have to have kingdom insight. Praise God. So be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What is the spirit of my mind? The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. I need to have an understanding of the word of God. And that understanding comes by revelation. And that understanding transforms me, renews me, refreshes me, elevates me, and propels me into dimensions. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. Romans 14 and 17. Romans 14 and verse 17. I like the verse 7. It's very relevant. He says, for the kingdom of God is not what? Meat and drink. In other words, it's not natural. But it is righteousness. It is righteousness. What did we just read in Ephesians chapter 4? Put on the new man which already is created in the likeness of God, in righteousness and in truth. Holiness. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, that grace that causes you to stand before God without blame. It is peace. It is joy. In the Holy Ghost, the kingdom of God. It is righteousness, it is peace, irene. In the Greek and in the Hebrew, it will be the word shalom, which means nothing is missing, Nothing is broken. Nothing is out of place. Everything is exactly the way it should be. Amen? But the peace of God is that which goes against the forces of darkness. Because the peace of God garrisons your heart and your mind. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, remember, and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Philippians 4 and verse 4 make this even much more clearer. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, always. And again I say what? Rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is what? At hand. I want you to note that. The Lord is at hand. That is a kingdom statement. You say, I don't see no kingdom in there. Just hold on. Hold your horses. We'll get there. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Now, this is dealing with the stuff that we will say has to do with prayer. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What is that statement which passeth all understanding referencing? The Word of God says, in all of your getting, get understanding. That is fundamental. So what is this which passeth all understanding? That is God saying, listen, you have understanding, you have all of that, but there is a place beyond your understanding. That is the place where I am. I am not limited to what you understand. I will do greater, far beyond anything you dare ask or think. Praise the Lord. He's capable of doing beyond whatever I ask, I dare ask. Or think. If I can think it, God says, I will match you and top you. But that is a statement that is relevant to people that are kingdom focused, that understand that it is about his kingdom and about his will being done in the earth as it is in heaven. Because you can never tell just by what you know, what God's will is going to be at every single moment. Is it true that Jesus said to a blind man, see, go home? That's true, right? But is it also true that he saw a blind man and he said, spitting and making mud and rubbing it in the man's face, and says, go wash your face in the pool of Siloam. Now, that's not the same thing. Is it true that there's a blind man, and he takes him out of the city where he was, takes him out of the city, and then heals him, and then says, don't go fooling around with those people over there? He never did the same thing the same way all the time. Why? Because he's watching to see what the Father is doing. He saw the Father taking a man, walking out of the city. So he takes the man and walks him out of the city. He sees the Father spitting on mud and rubbing a man's face, and he does exactly the same thing. He is mimicking the Father. And so he got the results that he needed. When did he know what to do? During those times that he spent with his disciples. That's why you never saw Jesus praying for the sick. I double dare anybody to find me one place in the Bible where Jesus was busy praying for the sick.
You'll find it. He just spoke the word. He touched them, he spoke the word, or they touched him. And they received their miracle. His first miracle took him by surprise. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, the mother came and asked him, he says, they've run out of wine. And the Lord Jesus says, what does it have to do with me? Are you bugging me about that? I didn't call the party. They had their party, their wedding, and they ran out of wine. Are you bugging me about this? She turns around and talks to the servants and says, whatever he says for you to do, do it. The mother that received the word of faith that brought about his birth. Are you with me? That same mother is receiving a word that is going to birth Jesus into his ministry. Before John the Baptist did anything, the word of God came and said, there is one that is coming whose shoe latchets I am not even qualified to deal with. He's the real dude. And the next day, he sees Jesus coming and says, ah, that's the one. Because the Spirit said, the one that you see, the dove, my spirit is resting on, that's the one. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. They've known each other all of their lives. But it took a seeing and a hearing for him to be picked up and assigned to his calling. And now that same thing is happening. Why did God have to talk with John the Baptist first? Because pre-Mary hearing, God already spoke to Zechariah. Are you with me? God follows line upon line to bring you into your calling and destiny. And that happens because we are logged in. Amen? You're logged in. Now, if something's happening on our website or on some website, you have to log in. Yeah? Log in. That's interesting that they use the word log in. Because a log is what? Wood. Yeah? Is that not the same thing for wood? A log of wood? You're looking at me really funny right now. I know your head is just spinning. Where is it going with this? Logging in is about how you have an entrance into or having an access into. When Jesus our Lord hung on the cross, he was carrying a log. That log in which he was crucified, in which he shed his blood, is the same as the blood of Jesus giving you access into the presence of God to behold the things of God. If you're going to log in, you're going to log in with the name of Jesus Christ. That's your password. Praise the Lord. That's your password. But guess what the Lord Jesus Christ said? He says, my Father loves you just the way he loves me. And I'm not going to have to pray for you, because my Father wants to commune with you. It's not just about me praying for you now. Yes, I will intercede for you. But now, Father wants you to go talk to him as his son, as his daughter, so you can know what his will is for your life, so that you can begin to prophesy what he's showing to you. Get it? Remember what we said earlier. The Lord is at hand in Philippians chapter 4. Let's go back there. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And then it says, finally, this is connected to the renewing of your mind. Finally, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Why are you thinking on those things? Because that's what is going to tweak your mind. Amen? Because God cannot do anything with unbelief. He cannot do with unbelief. He can only work with faith. And the way you are going to receive and appreciate that faith, even the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, is to go back to the login information. I am crucified with Christ. In other words, God says, listen, I died on the cross for you, but I want you to know that when I died on the cross for you, I took you with me, and when I died on the cross, you died with me. Oh. Now, that is very important. You say, why is that important? It is important because even if the devil comes to accuse you that you are this terrible person, you can say verbatim, clearly, hey, that has already been resolved. What do you mean it has been resolved? I died with Christ on the cross. And when I died on the cross with the Lord, my sin was taken care of. Ooh. So it is no longer what Jesus did. It's now what you and Jesus did to deal with your problem. That is what is, that's why Jesus says, no, I'm not going to need to pray for you. You can come to the Father. You have access. Is it making sense? Is this too much? No? You're still okay? All right. I was wondering if your seat belt is getting too tight or something. Now, this is transformative. Verse 6 of Philippians 4 says this, Be careful for nothing, but in everything and but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let your requests be made known unto God. Why are you making your requests made unto God? And what is that request? The request is not as much as, God, there is this problem. The request is much more connected to, God, what would you want me to say? Because he says, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And when he said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, in Matthew 16, it was connected to this statement. The statement was, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father. Is that what it says? And on the basis of the revelation of what my Father has just shown to you, I'm going to build my church. What church? The church that has a revelation. The church that has revelation. What is God saying? What is God saying? Has God spoken to anyone about this thing that we are trying to do? And what exactly did God say? So that we can align ourselves with what God said. Not what my mind came up with, but what God said. Because if you are not aligned with what God said, you don't have the guarantee to answered prayer. And we're going to find out. Oh, oops. That's where I missed it. And I've missed it so many times. I'm talking to you from the place of experience of somebody who's blown it too many times. And somebody who has experienced the knowing of God. Now, I wish I could tell you that every time I heard God say something, I did it exactly the way God said. Sometimes I have allowed my flesh and blood to step in and make sense of what God is trying to say. And I found out that every time I did that, every time, bar none, I failed. My good sense is not what God is looking for. My God sense is what God is looking for. Knowing his will, and his will doesn't necessarily match with my understanding. It exceeds my understanding. We've got to log in to experience the goodness of God. Verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And I said to you, that statement, the Lord is at hand, is a kingdom statement. The word of God says, in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2. Matthew 3 and verse 2. He says, the Lord is speaking here, the prophet is speaking, says, he came saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of what? Of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is here. It is now. It is in this place. In fact, the word of God goes on in Luke 17, 21. He says, the kingdom of God is within you. Why? Because the word of God is within you. So the reign of God, the capacity to see, is inbuilt in you, in your new birth experience. In John 3:3, he says, without that new birth experience, you cannot see into the realm of the kingdom. You cannot. It's impossible. And if you cannot see into the realm of the kingdom, because you've not experienced this new birth that is connected to your renewed mind, you will not be able to function with kingdom results. So it's important for us to see so that we are discerning, to see so we behold what the Lord our Father is doing. Hear the statement of the Lord in John 14. John 14, I'll take it up from verse 4. John 14, 4. The Lord is speaking to his disciples, and he tells them that he's going, and he's going to prepare a place for them, and so on and so forth. In fact, let me do this for a quick reference. Let's go to verse 1 and 2 first. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Yeah? That's a powerful word. And then he says, in my Father's house are many, what? Mansions, not huts. Mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be what? Also. Okay. What have we done with that verse? He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. What we've done, because of a lack of revelation, is that we've pushed that date into the future. One of these days, Jesus is going to come and get me into my mansion. Now, for 2,000 years, he's still preparing. But that's not what the point he was making. He said, I'm going to come again. I'm going to receive you unto myself so that where I am, you may be there also. Question, are you in Christ right now? Are you seated with him right now? In where? Heavenly places. So that statement that where I am, there ye may be also, is already answered. It's already dealt with. You're already there. It is not, I'm going to be there someday. No, you are already there. You are seated with him in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. He goes on and says, whither I go, you know. He says, whither I go, you know. And the way, you know. You already know the way. You're already going there. Thomas says unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? That is unbelief. That is not having revelation. Jesus said unto him, I am the way. You know me? Then the problem is solved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That Jesus say, you have access to the Father. I don't need to pray for you. You can talk to the Father yourself because the Father loves you just as much as he loves me. Did he not say that? But why are we pushing it? If he had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, and from what? Henceforth. That means from the very moment he said it. He says, since you don't know that you know, from henceforth, from this moment, ye know him and have what? Seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you, and ye had not known me, Philip? He that had seen me had seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in, watch this, I am in the what? The Father, and the Father in me. Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? In other words, we are in communion and we are in partnership. The words that I speak unto you, watch this now. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the what? The works. What did Jesus just say? Remember the blind man that got healed there? That was the Father. That deaf guy? That's the Father. That lame man? That's the Father. He was doing the works. He was doing the works. The Father was doing the works. Hallelujah. The Father was doing the works. All I was doing is lining myself up with what I saw him doing. But the person who really did it was the Father. He is the miracle working God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is that helping somebody? Amen. Now, in James chapter 1, in James chapter 1 and verse 25, I touched a little bit on that earlier today. Oh, time is just going so fast. It says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. There's a law of liberty or the law of freedom. Liberty, freedom. Yes? Okay. Now, the perfect law of liberty, the perfect law of freedom, the perfect law of deliverance, and continueth therein, and continueth therein, and continueth therein. He being, present tense continuous, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the what? Of the work. Based on what? He's continuing on the perfect law of liberty. What is that perfect law of liberty? Oh, it must be peace. It must be joy. It must be whatever. But what does the Word of God ultimately say this perfect law of liberty is? John, the Gospel of John chapter 8 tells us. John chapter 8, verse 31 through 32. John 8, 31, 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my, what? Word. And continue it therein. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall what? Know the what? The truth. What truth? I am the way, the truth, and the life. You're going to know me in a very personal way. And James says, as we look in the mirror, we are being changed into the same image from glory to glory. Hallelujah. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. That is the perfect law of liberty. The word of God. The word of God that you heard. The word of God that you are seeing. That is what releases you. Hallelujah. It is not Humpty Dumpty sat on a great wall. That's not going to set you free. No philosophy of man is going to set you free. Your freedom comes from the word of God, and you beholding that word of God. And as Jesus our Lord will do in Psalm 2, verse 6 and 7, as we read this morning, recognizing that he was seated or set as king in his holy mountain. For in the mountain of the Lord there shall be what? Deliverance, freedom. And how does he display that? In verse 7, the word of God says, I will declare the decree. When God my Father spoke, it was a declaration, it was a decree, and my role is to declare what I heard. Praise the Lord. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. Wow. And the same thing is our declaration. The Lord has said, he's spoken unto me, and he says, I am his son. I am born again. Hallelujah. I have a renewed mind. I have the mind of Christ, the mind of the anointed one, the anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens. The anointing that comes about because we are together in one place. For how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the oil of anointing that was poured on the head of Aaron that ran down his beard and down his skirts. It is like the dew on Mount Hermon, for there God commanded. Hallelujah. He commanded his blessing forever. Praise the Lord. I just took you to another place and just there. Because it is about the word of God, but it's also about our unity. For where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of them. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Where the Spirit of the Lord, the word of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen. Amen. That is the law of liberty. Praise the Lord. Knowing what God is saying, what has God said? What is he saying? And if what he said is not being made manifest, why is it not being made manifest? There must be sin in the camp. What is the sin in the camp that we must deal with? Guess what? The word of God reveals. There was a guy. When they came to the promised land of God, God said, I want you not to take a thing from the city of Jericho. Not a thing. It is holy unto the Lord. But that word holy unto the Lord also means it is an accursed thing. How can it be a blessed thing and an accursed thing at the same time? Well, because when you don't obey the instruction of first fruit, the law of first fruit, of giving to God the first in your life, the rest is not blessed. It is the word of the Lord. And when they did not bring the first to God, everything they had became a curse then. The man, how many of you remember his name? Thank you. You're listening. Achan. Achan decides to take the Babylonian clothing. You know what Babylonian clothing means? It means the things of the world. Babylon. Babylon, connected to Babel. Words. He took the wrong words. He took the wrong words. God says, don't touch anything there. Every word has to be a word that honors God. If you take anything out of that city that is not based on my word, it becomes an accursed thing. He took it and he went and he buried it. And Joshua, who did not continue to listen to find out from God what the next step is supposed to be, goes against a small commune called Ai. Ai, or I. And they lost. They were, their slate was cleaned. And then Joshua says, wait a minute. God, how come you just brought us here to just mess with us? What's wrong with you? God said, nothing wrong with me. It's you. What do you mean, me? I didn't do nothing wrong. Well, there is sin in the camp. What do you mean there's sin in the camp? Didn't I tell you guys not to take anything from there? Somebody took some. You have to have that corrected so I can bless. So he went through the system. They find out Achan. And Achan and his whole house were wiped out. And now God had to give instruction on how that city of Ai was going to be taken. It's interesting that what we have today in our world screaming out our ears right now are those two letters, Ai. Because we as the church are about to confront our Ai, but we must defeat Ai. Yeah? And we're going to defeat it by revelation, by using its strength against it, using its confidence against it. That's what Israel had to do. They went and they surrounded the city, and the set went towards the city, and the people of Ai and the king started pursuing them. They started running away, and Ai was confident. We defeated them before. We're going to do it again. We used COVID-19, and we cleaned their slate, and we're going to do it again. We use Hollywood and Nollywood and whatever wood, and we clean their slate. We use the internet and we overrun them. We use this and we're going to do it again. We're going to do it again. We're going to use governmental pressure and we're going to do it again. And it looks like the children of God are running away. But what happens? They turned around. When those that were behind the city got into the city, they set it ablaze. They started hearing fireworks. Boom, boom. The king looks back. What is going on? What's going on? Oh, my city's on fire. But now he is caught. Israelites on that side, Israelites on this side. But don't be messed up by this, that it was because they were ambushed, Israelites on that side and Israelites on this side. They had been defeated before by this same community, but this time they had heard from God. And now, the people of Ai had no chance of winning, because the people that know their God are made strong and mighty and do exploits. They have a revelation. And the people with a revelation from God will always defeat satanic forces. And that's you and that's me. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I think I'm going to stop there tonight. And we'll go on in the next little while with whatever it is the Lord has for us to hear. But tonight, I want you to know that God is on our side. And he says to us in Psalm 2 and verse 8, when you have a revelation of who you are, and you've declared my word, the word of liberty, he says, ask of me, and I'm going to give you the heathen for thine inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession. You're going to break them with a rod of iron. You're going to dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. So be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, whoever you think you are, whatever kingdom you think you're operating from, be wise. Don't pick a fight, because the people that know their God have come to take their possessions. Be wise, therefore, ye kings, and be instructed. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. In other words, surrender. The enemy is going to surrender. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe that there are people today that are on the devil's side that are going to drop their guns, drop their machetes, drop their bombs, and say, I surrender, and come and join the Lord's side. Amen? Let us be ready for the harvest of the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Rise with me. Father, we are those that put our trust in you. The word says, O God, blessed are all they that put their trust in you, O Lord. Our trust is in you. And we're asking, Father, that you grant us the kingdom experience of being supernaturally sighted, that we have the capacity to see. In the book of Revelation, you said, because you say that you are sighted and you everything is okay, you're blind. And Lord, oh God, we're coming to you today and we're saying, you're right. We're blind and we want to see. You asked Bartimaeus, what do you want? And he said, I want to see. I want to see. I want to see. That's our cry today. While the masses try to shut him down and say, shut up, shut up. You have no right to be calling on the name of the Lord. He cried out even louder. Lord, oh God, as we read your word, we see you stopping. and saying, bring him to me. And that day he took off of himself the garment of unrighteousness. The garment that said he was not qualified. He dropped it. He dropped it because he wanted to see. Father, we ask, oh God, that the help that we need to come to where you are, to commune with you, Lord, oh God, that that grace be accorded every one of us. That, Father, in the name of Jesus, that this will be the last day, the last second of the experience of blindness. For we are not under the influence and the control of the God of this world who has blinded people. Father, we are under your lordship, and those who are under your lordship must see. That's right. You came to give sight to the blind, to proclaim liberty to those that are in bondage, to mend the broken hearts. Lord, oh God, mend our broken hearts so, Father, oh God, we can retain your word. Let your word, oh God, come now and let it deliver us from our poverty. So that, Lord, oh God, that we may be enriched. Your word says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Father, our desire is not to keep on praying for healing as believers. We should walk in the hygiene, in the divine health of God. Our assignment is to bring healing to the lost, deliverance to the lost. So, Lord, heal your people as you did, oh God, at the Passover, when your people shared in the Passover communion. Father, your word says that there was not one weak or feeble in the midst. Everyone left Egypt wealthy, prosperous, healed, restored. Lord, oh God, so let it be unto us now, unto your people, according to thy word, that, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we will not spend our time focusing on minor things, but focus, oh God, on things that really matter, the priorities of the kingdom of God. Your word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and everything else will be added. For you know what it is that we need. And it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We receive the kingdom. We receive it. We receive it. For we declare, O God, this day, let thy kingdom come, that your will may be done in the earth as it is in heaven. And all of God's people together in agreement in Jesus' name said, yes. And amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to have you here tonight. Continue to listen to the word of God. Let it equip you. Let it help you be everything God says you and I can be for his name's sake. Amen. Praise God. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. Just release from our hands that first fruit of tithe, first fruit of that which God has spoken to us to engage in. If you've not given already, just come and just do that. Honor God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. We ask God for the Gentiles, for the nations, for the lost, those that do not know him as personal Lord and Savior. We ask for them, for our inheritance. Tomorrow morning, the word of the Lord is going to be preached into a particular country. And we're going to be covering a whole host of countries in that general area. The word is going to go into Afghanistan, it's going to go into India, it's going to go into Pakistan, it's going to go into Bangladesh, it's going to go right across all of that area. And we're expecting to see thousands and thousands and thousands of people come to salvation and be healed. We ask for their souls to be saved. So tomorrow, spend some time in the morning hours, just when you wake up, start praying. Before you go to bed to sleep tonight, be praying. Say, God, give us souls. Give us souls. You love these people all over there, right through to the Middle East. God wants to do a great work. And it is a joy to participate. And that is something that God spoke about. Way back, this would be actually, would be 95, the very early days of the internet. The Lord says, this is how the gospel is going to be preached in the days to come. Not discounting what is going to, what we're going to do when we go in person to places, but this gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached through the internet. At that time, there were no video cameras. You couldn't, not video cameras, there were no videos on the internet. In fact, you couldn't print on a card like this. You couldn't even print a picture. This happens to be a picture. You couldn't do any of that on your computer at that time. It was dot matrix. And God was speaking to me right here. I was about where Sister Candy is. I still remember it vividly. He says, buy cameras. Go buy cameras. I said, cameras for what? For the internet. How am I going to get the money for it? Call my son, Will at Thiessen. He's going to help you. And I want you to rent the Fort Garry Hotel. I didn't have 2 pennies to rub together, and God is asking me to go rent the Fort Garry Hotel. This is at the time when we couldn't even put a sign on this building. The sign we had was a sign from our old building on Maryland. It was just like, it looked like a little band-aid on the side of the building over there. Obey the instruction of the Lord. That's how we got our first set of cameras. And when COVID hit, it became absolutely clear to me. Wow. This is it. You know, in my other country, Nigeria, you know, they had gas subsidies. Give me a few more minutes. You know, this, it's okay. I'm not wasting your time. They had gas subsidies. They had gas subsidies. And so the price of gas was expensive, but down there. So let's say they used to pay 50 cents per liter. They removed the subsidies, and now for a liter, you have to pay about $5 overnight. What does that do when your pay didn't go up that much? How are you going to go to church? Guess what? Internet. Internet. Those that can go, go. So churches, some churches, are, instead of meeting almost every day, you know, Nigerians, you know, we love going to church. Now they only go on Sunday, and the rest is online. Because God saw it. That's what I'm talking to you about, kingdom. When you have kingdom information, you don't spend your time complaining. Oh God, I come. No. You already know. You already know, and you are ahead of the game. Before they start anything, you're already ahead. And that's exactly what every one of us are going to be. Head and not tail. Above only and never beneath. For that which is born of God is above all. Praise the Lord. Those are the final words. I said it. Glory be to God. Well, good night. No Wednesday Bible studies. The next time we're going to be together. Not because of gas subsidies. It's going to be on Friday. And I believe that is Leadership Friday, right? That's Leadership Friday. But this particular Leadership Friday, we're going to make open for all. Amen? So we're not just going to make it Leadership Friday. Everybody come. Everybody come. Let's all participate this Friday on the 7th month. Everybody come and be in-house and participate in the prayer meeting. Amen? Praise God. God bless you. Love you guys. Yes.